Our presentation will rely on hard copies, and our listening skills are going to be tested today, because we'll have to listen to the presentation even if we are unable to look at if Yandiswa, you can deal with that outside noises. Thank you very much. And we'll have I think we all have our hard copies. Members, hard copies were sent electronically, and I think there are hard copies that have been distributed as well. We might not be able to see the writings clearly, so that's why I'm saying that our listening skills are extremely important today. We are going to continue with the work. Having welcomed the members, can I request the members, the two members, to come to the front so that those that come late, because our venue is small, so that they just join and don't disturb the meeting when they arrive. Can you shift a little bit up? Thank you very much. Thank you for that intervention. Chairperson of the NEL Board.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for being very practical. I think we will find a way to proceed. Again, thank you for welcoming us here. This is a presentation that we should have given to you earlier in the year. We still have financial performance. The best way to then go into it, given the technical challenge we have, I'm going to let my short, small team of board members, the chairs of Human Resources and Innovation Committee, the chairs of the Audit Committee. We have an acting Chief Executive Officer in HR Doctors, just for them to introduce themselves quickly and my financial manager. So that they can immediately go ahead with their presentation using their laptop, and hopefully we can all follow through the presentation accordingly.
Good morning. My name is Tami Magazi. I'm Managing Executive Director at CNEL, and I'm the Chair of the HR Committee.
You're most welcome.
I'm Talib Sadek. I'm a non-executive director at the NEL, and I chair the audit committee.
Most welcome.
I'm Tandela Kadela. I'm the financial controller for the NEL.
Most welcome.
Good morning, chairperson, and good morning, members of the committee. My name is Ismail Dalkak. I'm the chairperson, I'm the group, acting group chief executive officer.
You're most welcome.
We only started the 1st of December.
Oh.
We took a position that while we are waiting to finalize and announce the CEO, we would rotate our management so the board can see and feel how they're strength, just to plan for the future of allocation of human resources in the board.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Without further ado, I think the parliamentary committee is well aware of the efforts of the board from the time we arrived. I must say to you that as I sit here today, it's probably the first time in a long time that I've been like the future is possible, even though we are still going to be required to do to take very tough actions to try and get a more nimble and focused now. However, the basic cleanup, looking at our financial statements, looking at our results with the help of the Auditor General, I think that says the board is saying it is done and then we are ready to move ahead. So I'm going to let the Acting Group Chief Executive Officer to take us through the presentation that we have and let it slowly
thank you, Chairperson.
and thank you to everybody for engaging with us and listening to us under these conditions. The fact that we can't see each other might mean that we listen to each other very well as well. So I think as long as you can hear me, we should be okay. So Chair, what we do this morning is I will provide some overview in terms of some of the key challenges in the business, as well as some of the typical interventions to speak to those challenges and how we intend to deal with them. Thereafter, I'll look to the Chair of the Audit Committee as well as our acting Group CFO to provide inputs with regard to the financial results, as well as discuss some of the key actions that we're taking in addressing the audit findings, and then we proceed to have a discussion around how we're dealing with the cleanup and the governance issues, as well as irregular expenditure, and in dealing with those issues, we will be supported as well by the Chair of the HR Committee, PR and E Committee of the Policy. So I think, as our Chairperson has said, since the appointment of this new board in April of this year, there's been a very, very strong focus, one, on dealing with the governance issues within the business and going through the cleanup. And as the Chair says, we're coming to the end of that process, but at the same time, we've also been taking a very critical look at the strategic issues facing the business, as well as looking at how we reposition the business around some of those critical issues. So moving on from there, in terms of those challenges within the business, and I'm on slide 6 of the presentation for those of you who have a hard copy in front of you, and I'm going to go through those key strategic challenges facing us as a business, and then we'll proceed from there. So number one, governance has been a very, very important issue for us to show improvement on, to get right, to make a number of changes so that we can improve the governance processes within the business. The board has put in place a very strong governance turnaround plan and governance framework, and inside of that framework and process, we are ensuring that we address critical challenges within the business. Very important from a statutory point of view, and also very important in terms of being able to re-establish credibility with all of our critical stakeholders within the environment, with customers, suppliers, the public in general, our employees, organized labor, and so forth. We're making sure that we're engaging all the critical stakeholders in dealing with this issue. Next, critical challenge for the business is that we have a weak balance sheet, we have high levels of debt, and this is linked to the liquidity challenge within the business, and so there's a number of measures that we speak to in terms of how we address that particular challenge. And then we have been challenging ourselves, challenging the business in terms of cost issues. So we're looking at all the contracts in the business, where those contracts are non-performing, where the contracts are onerous. We're reviewing those contracts and we're looking at how we can improve execution in terms of those contracts. Our supply chain is...
Thank you very much for those that have assisted us. I've seen some certain skills among our guests here, improvising. Thank you. And are you sorted now? The power is back. Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chief. May I just check?
Reminder, our phones must be switched off or on silent. You want to check something?
Okay, I just want to check. Should I just proceed or are you trying to get the presentation up? Proceed, okay.
Proceed.
Okay. So I was talking to the issue of supply chain efficiency, we've put a process in place to review all of our procurement and to ensure that we are getting a better value out of our procurement processes. I will speak to that further on in the presentation in greater detail.
Just a second, please record, because the power is back now.
Yes, I press the...
Oh, you are using the mic?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, no, the parliamentary one. Those are the media ones. This. And then just indicate which slides are you in, so that you are on, so that you are able to follow properly.
Thank you, Chair. I'm on slide 6 of the presentation, and I'm speaking now to the second last point on slide 6. I'm moving to the point around the order book. So one of the challenges we face as a company is that although we've had a strong order book over the past few years, the order book has been eroding over time, and going forward we will need to ensure that we have a strong focus on growing our order book and ensuring and also ensuring that the quality of our order book is such that we entering into contracts which are viable and profitable. And finally, linked to the order book, it's critical that we improve our access to our markets. Danel is a market, is an export-oriented business. A large part of our order book comes from being able to successfully penetrate and deepen our exposure within particular markets overseas, which supplements the revenues we receive from the local defense client, and therefore it's quite important that we ensure that we build the right kind of partnerships in the market, both locally as well as globally, to improve our access in the market. Moving on then to the next slide, which is slide 7. On the basis, Chairperson, of some of those key challenges which I've highlighted, there's a couple of specific interventions that the board is resolved on and mandated management to take forward on a very urgent basis in order to stabilize the business and set the business on a very new trajectory. The first of those is that there's a very strong resolve from the board that we need to instill a very strong commercial mindset within the business. We need to be ensuring that we're operating as a business, that we're making decisions as a business, that we're instilling a culture within the management teams, throughout the group, and within all our employees, which is based on ensuring that we focus on our customers, we focus on the quality of our product, we focus on ensuring that we're improving delivery. We have a lot of complaints from our customers that we're late on delivery, we overprice, we're not competitive, and so forth. And it's critical that we set the nails on a path where there's a very strong commercial focus. Linked to that point, there are a number of decisions that have been taken or are in the process of being taken to ensure that we have the right caliber of leadership at the management level within the company, throughout the group, and as we go on in the presentation, we'll speak to some of those issues. The chair may want to make some comments in that regard as well. The next point is that we are looking at the property portfolio within the group. We're looking at all of the properties that currently are owned and managed by the NEL. We're looking at whether our model, our business operating model for how we manage those properties is actually the most optimal model. Secondly, we want to see whether there are opportunities to leverage that property portfolio and develop the property portfolio in a more dynamic way. And thirdly, we also want to see to what extent we might be able to actually reduce our own footprint or optimize our own footprint in terms of the space that we occupy. We believe there's a number of inefficiencies in terms of our own utilization of space, and that the more we can free up space, the more we might be able to attract other tenants and or partners who are able to better utilize that space. So there's a big focus on the property portfolio. The next point, and I'm talking to the first bullet point on the next slide, is that we've now embarked on a formal, rigorous and objective process of investigating exactly which of the Danel businesses we see as being viable, profitable, and profitable going forward as well. And anything that we believe is not going to be part of the strategic focus of commercially viable and profitable businesses, we want to see those loss-making and non-core businesses. We want to understand what they are, and then we want to be able to go to the board and make some clear decisions at board level, or in the instance where it requires approval from the shareholder, at shareholder level, in terms of how we address the exiting of those loss-making and non-core business areas. And we will report back further on this issue sometime in the first quarter of next year. The next point there is about the fixed cost base. The issues of uncompetitiveness within the business, or the perceptions of uncompetitiveness, speak directly to the cost base. For Danel to be profitable, the way in which we procure, the cost of the materials that we bring into the company, the costs associated with our labor, the cost of our logistics, all of those have to be at levels which are internationally benchmarked and competitive in order for us to make competitive products and services. So we're taking a very deep look at all of that, and we will be making some significant changes across the group to bring down the cost base. The next point there is around the roof-based contract. Just for context, Chairperson, for those who might not be familiar with the word roof Acer, it's a specific long-term contract for the development and supply of infantry fighting vehicles for the South African Army. The contract is placed on us via ARMSCO in order to meet the requirements of the SA Army. It's a contract that we've been running for some years already. We are coming to the end of the development phase, but we haven't yet gone into production. There's a number of challenges with this contract, and we will be sitting down with ARMSCO, with our shareholder, and with all the other stakeholders, and renegotiating in order to ensure that we have a viable contract that's executable as we go forward. I spoke about optimizing the supply chain earlier, so I'm not going to repeat myself on that point. As far as the governance and compliance issues are concerned, we believe that there has been a massive level of work that's been undertaken by the board during these past months, which we believe has dealt with most of these issues. But going forward, there are still a number of issues that we need to address, both in terms of governance as well as compliance. And some of those issues speak specifically to the findings of the Auditor General, and which we will address later on in the presentation. And then finally, on the slide here, and I'll conclude on this point before heading over to the rest of the team, is that the critical question is for our shareholder, for our board, and for our key stakeholders, is everybody recognizes that Danel is a great strategic national asset. Everybody recognizes that there's great value in Danel, that Danel has historically developed and produced truly innovative and world-class technologies. But the question is, what is it that Danel needs to look like in the future? What is the expectation of our stakeholders in order to serve our national mandate of what Danel needs to look like going forward? And so there's a strategic review that's being undertaken under the leadership of the board to look at what this future footprint of Danel needs to look like, and how we then develop a roadmap to ensure that we can go forward in this journey without us having a clear understanding here of exactly what we want to arrive at in terms of a future vision for the NEL. It's going to be very difficult for us to make decisions without that framework in place. So we want to be able to engage between ourselves and the board and then within the shareholder environment to ensure that there's an absolute level of alignment between all stakeholders in terms of what the future of the NEL needs to look like, what the future footprint needs to be. And once we have achieved that level of alignment, we can then all go forward in the same direction in terms of achieving in that regard.
If you may pause a few seconds, I just want to sort something out here. Can I have this chair, not members, but Yandiso, please come this side. Please. Can I have this first chair move towards, to lean against the wall, so that lady can sit on it, this first one? And then request members after that to shift a little bit their chairs to come closer, so that we open the space there for new chairs that are coming in. All sorted now. Is the thing coming? Oh, no, I'm not coming. Okay. Are we now sorted? Thank you. I want us to circle now so that we resume the presentation. Thank you. Thank you very much. I observe that the chairperson wants to come in at this stage. Please come in.
I think it was on the issue of the overall governance approach. The depth of governance is so large in a turnaround, because while you start, the first simple thing is you put in a board and the board puts the rules between EXCO and all the divisions and the subsidiaries. However, when you are now trying to reduce some of the risks, as we have seen with issues around VR labor and so on, your role to set governance goes far deeper into governing how they procure, governing how they implement projects, governing how to, with every line that they have written, you could of actions that are immediate, you can almost see a layer of the governance framework that is going to be established to ensure that the board can still have a seat through and be able to account. So parallel to every line that you have seen is an effort by the board and its committee to ensure that you've got a clear framework because of the vastness of the business, to be able to get a form of a see-through and a board impact on it, so that in some cases, depending on the sizes, they will bring some of them for you to come and at least with an approval. So it's quite an exercise, but we feel we get into a point of focus that will make it easier to one day come here and say, this is the denial of the future. We may have challenges around the things that we're still taking out, but we know what it's going to be. Over to
you. Any additions? Volume a little bit. Yes.
When you look at the performance up to now, you see a similar increase in terms of net profit. We've had more compared to the prior year. Now we've made a loss of 1.758 billion versus a restated profit of 2017-2018. When you look at revenue performance in 2018, you'll see that there was a decline in revenue prepared by now from 8 billion in 2017 to 35 billion in the current year. The main reason for the decline in federal consent from revenue is largely as a result of this situation and leading to delays for delivering on major contracts. The liquidity challenges faced by Genal had a further impact because Genal could not pay some of the suppliers. It led to delays in delivery, and hence there was delayed delivery as well on contract. However, when you look at our revenue per region, you will note that 45% of our revenue is still in local revenue, but we still heavily rely on our exports, sitting at 55% in the current year. Normalized spending, OPEX for the year, when we exclude the anomalies that have been taken into our account in 2018, that's about 1 billion. However, in the financial year, we have to relook at our balance sheet, look at the goodwill that had been previously recognized in the purchase of some of our subsidiaries. And upon review of that goodwill, the decision was then taken to impair that goodwill because it could no longer justify having it into our The exchange rate also had a significant loss in the losses incurred in the current year of 272 million. Some onerous contracts and costs incurred that have been provided for. So that in short, that is the result of 2017-2018 for now. Moving on to page 11, you recall in the previous meeting that reported that now was going to be audited or was being audited by the Audit General. So the audit has been finalized. It was finalized at the end of October, and the Audit General issued us with an audit opinion. Their audit opinion was a disclaimer audit opinion. And the issues raised are detailed on slide 11 for the reasons of the disclaimer. One being revenue, where in the past, we now applied the correct financial standards in applying for or in recognizing the revenue. Property, plant, and equipment is the understatement of assets which are valued at zero value whilst they're being utilized. The evaluation reserve, the evaluation reserve, the PPE are comfortable in using the model of the reserve, the recognized in the income statement instead of the evaluation surface. The post-retirement benefits relate to the defined benefit assets which have not been accounted for in the system now. Investments in subsidiaries, the time of the audit, the audit of the industry is adequate the auditing the transaction. And the deferred tax was linked to the prior year era, which could not be quantified for the audit, as well as the incomplete disclosure of irregularities of the investment. So in essence, those are the reasons for the given by the Auditor General for the diploma. On page 12, in light of the serious seriousness that you now took with regards to the diploma, it not only affected the public opinion and the investor opinion, you now have to come up with a plan to ensure that the
sure that this, the disclaimer opinion is not continued at the time. The plan proposed to the board was detailed in terms of dealing first with the financial accounting issue, wherein the board approved the appointment of an independent audit firm to bridge the skill gap with regard to the issues raised by the audit agenda. And that has been completed in terms of the appointment and the work has started. As well as several steps are the detailed and case talk needed to be taken internally to ensure that the financial team is strong and has adequate skills in order to close the issues raised by the audit agenda. Second to that was compliance to legislation, particularly in treaty care they may link to supply chain, as well as the disclosure of irregular expenditure. And steps have been detailed also have been implemented to ensure that the policies as well are updated to ensure compliance to where they can get identified by the audit general to comply to the
Thank you, Sandeko. Chair, I will be talking about the progress we've made around governance. First, we're thinking of the new board. We now launched a governance turnaround plan, and some of the aspects of the turnaround plan have been addressed by the group financial controller. I'm going to talk through some of the investigations that we've undertaken. And on your on page 14, the board has, through the audit committee and through the other committees of the board, we've conducted a few investigations. One of them relates to the bursary granted to Mr. Mahuma Pino. We have made a commitment to issue a bursary of 1.1 million rand. And this bursary was not approved in terms of the Donnell bursary policy. The institution that the bursary was made to was not an approved institution. The bursaries were not advertised as required by the policy, and nor was it approved by the bursary committee of Donnell. And as a result of that, we have terminated the bursary policy. Other investigations that we are undertaking is on the following page 15. At the moment, we lead a forensic audit on the transactions with the entire VR Laser Group with Donnell, and this includes across all the divisions and subsidiaries, and also at a shareholder level within the VR Laser Group. We are also conducting a forensic review of transactions pertaining to a manufacturing and sale of a Landwind vehicle. And we as a board, we are engaging with the SRU to finalize the proclamation on Donnell so that we can then go ahead with an in-depth investigation into all aspects of Donnell. We have consequence management and disciplinary action. We've established a team to investigate all cases identified as irregular by the Auditor General. We will be making recommendations around corrective action and to ensure disciplinary action is taken against any individual around irregular expenditure. And not only disciplinary action, we will also look at civil and criminal claims as well. And consequence management to meet the audit requirements. On page 16, in terms of cleaning up the NEL, we've investigated and continue to investigate a number of dubious transactions. I've given you an overview of the bursary issue that we did investigate, and we are now also working with SAPS because there could be other claims that could be made as well. We are investigating a number of irregular procurement transactions, irregular employee appointments, and also some companies that we contacted in-house. We have a multidisciplinary team. As I did state, we are cooperating with the SRU and SAPS. And we also have done an investigation on salary increases that were granted and adjustments, including lump sum payments between the period of November 2015 to March 2018. We have terminated all contracts with the VR Laser Group and our relationship, and we've commenced the winding down of Donnell Asia, which is a Hong Kong-based company.
and we have terminated the appointment of the group CFO. We have seen the resignation of the group CEO and other senior members of management have also left us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I can see other board members are looking at you. I'm not sure whether...
That's not the same, Mommy.
I'm not sure whether they feel that there's something that they would want to add.
If you'd like to add anything.
Covered. Thank you. Thank you very much. I would like... members, I'm not sure. You are raising your hands for interaction. Okay, I've noted you. If you could just hold on a second. Thank you. I propose that we deal with the report in this session so that we don't go back and forth. We take the item number 2, challenges, intervention, financial results, external audit opinion, irregular expenditure, and then the last part we deal with the governance part that deals with forensic investigations. Can we start as the first phase of those items that are 2, 3, 4, 6 as the first round of questions, and then we'll come back to the forensic, then we focus on the forensic. I've noted Dr. Liyenge, Honorable Mazoni, Honorable Nkwakukwa, Honorable Tseli. In that order, members.
Thank you. Thank you, Professor. In appreciating the report presentation by both the board and the management of the net for the first time. in this new generation of cleanup, of which one never expected a lot in terms of the strategy and method that you would want to implement. I want to highlight to the board in relation to issues of corruption and involvement of the men on matters of corrupt activities. Did you come across a number of individuals within the setup of the NEM, both from the former board and the former executive, where there have been investigations that have been engaged? If that is so, where is the process with regard to that? Now, on new ones, on issues that relate to money that were lost, have you made a determination yet that says this is the amount of money that has been lost from the last 5 years up to now? Have you made that determination? And then if that is not the case, are you contemplating to also include internal and external contract investigation? Because when you make that determination, you need to also consider contracts, not necessarily those that are in front of you. Then on the issue of management involvement on issues of corruption, are there any disciplinary cases that have been there already? Or if there were such investigations, is there any progress that has been occurred? And then, are there any suspensions that you actually invoked on your arrival? And how far has that affected now the operations of the organization? So the indication would be there on the amount of acting executives, which I believe is a critical level where you have the involvement of executives involved. Then how does it affect you, that issue? Then before I rest my case, the issue of the VR laser and other contracts that were there, what is the amount of those that you found that they were irregular, and have you stopped all of them? If that is the case, how do you deal now with the services that were rendered within those contracts? Do you have a backup system or a backup mechanism that ensures that you continue to do that? Then on the board chairperson, you must get a determination from the board to say, in the eyes of the prophecies of the group, a denial of today is a denial that is declared a skeleton, and you have a responsibility of putting it in where it belongs. Do you have that in your mind? Do you see it possibility? Is it feasible for you to ensure that Dinel is not sold out? Dinel creates and participates in the economic growth method that is needed in the national development plan. So can we maybe learn that on the last issues of the open investigation, then we still go to look at if we are going to get what is that?
Yes, definitely you are. In fact, you have put me in a difficult position with your first two or three questions, because they belong to the governance, where maybe I should say, maybe let's leave the challenges and intervention. We club it together with the governance. We just focus on the financial results and external audit opinion. If I may, please, members, I think we have agreed on that. And then we'll come back to deliberative in our report, our recordings, and be able not to club the issues. Thank you very much. Honorable Mazon, is your turn.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I don't think these mics are working, so I'm going to just raise my voice a little bit so everyone can hear. Chair, when it comes to the audit outcomes and the irregular expenditure, Chair, one has to go back to 2017, when Danelle spokesperson, she was Pamela Melinda. She announced that the government of Qatar had approached Danelle to discuss the possibility of providing loan funding. And this was followed by a signing of a formal memorandum of understanding in October 2017 by representatives of Qatar, Danelle, and the South African government, based on what seemed to be very strange conditions. It was that $350 million loan facility for a five-year term that Danelle could draw on as it needed, a six-month exclusivity period to conclude the loan, a confidentiality clause, the desire of the Qatar government to obtain an equity share, provision of the loan agreement to be concluded by Danelle if the equity ownership could not be approved. Everything about this loan was done under the cloak of secrecy. The South African public didn't know what was going on. And in fact, Chair, the only thing the South African public did ever see was a photo that was released to the media, and the photo showed a representative from the Qatari Minister of Defence, someone from the South African government, and the now CFO that we know has tendered his resignation. So the problem comes in here that, you know, the National Conventional Arms Control Committee, the Vetting Council of South Africa, all of these particular bodies have to be involved when such a decision is made. And Chair, these bodies also have to be involved when you start talking about signing deals and loan agreements and bailout agreements. We don't even know what to call them because of the cloak of secrecy with Saudi Arabia and what's now become known as the Saudi deal, which is going to become an issue and will be an issue that the Auditor General picks up on. Now, Chair, I'd like to know from the board, you know, these are deals that you weren't involved in. People that were involved in these deals have now resigned. They've left you the mess to clear up. But you now put yourself in the very precarious position of perhaps being involved in deals that are illegal, in transactions that were illegal and will be reported on in the AG's report. How are we going forward with this? We know that South Africa is now a permanent member of the Security Council, given human rights concerns in Yemen and in Saudi Arabia. Do we continue with these deals? Where do we stand with the amount of money that we have received, if any, from these particular deals? Not only that, but Germany is also a member of the Security Council of the United Nations. We have massive dealings in Israel with German firms. Rheinmetall comes to mind immediately. How does that affect what the Auditor General will find as perhaps an adverse finding? And how does it place you as a board in a precarious situation? Because let's be honest, we now teeter on the bridge of breaking international treaties. And this isn't your board that did it, this is a board that simply resigned and left, you know, they threw the baby out of the bathwater and left you behind to clear it up. Chair, a big worry for anyone that works at Danelle is this: are salaries going to be paid? Is there enough money left after the Auditor General's report, after all the findings, is there enough money to pay the salaries to the Danelle employees? And once again, Chair, we must emphasize that this board has now been put in place to pick up the pieces that a board before it broke. And Chair, before you were chairperson of this committee threw that board out of Parliament. We refused to deal with it. It was quite a serious thing at the time because I don't think a committee has ever thrown a board out of Parliament. We refused to deal with them, we refused to deal with the lies that were being brought before us. This board has now come to us and given us the truth today, and it's not a good story to tell. It's a very, very frightening story to tell. And no doubt the NOAA employees are going to be watching this on the news tonight. Will they be paid? And above all, how many retrenchments are we looking at? Are people being forewarned? Are retrenchments in the offering? If so, how many? And then, Chair, I'll leave it there because the rest will be doing in the second round.
Thank you very much. We also covered number 6, don't forget irregular expenditure. Mr. Honorable Kwangwa, I'm trying to get it correct now.
Kwangwa.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Proceed.
Thank you very much. I think Honorable Mazone actually started with my first question. Because you have female employees who every now and then are frustrated and worried because of their investment. That's the people don't know indeed whether they have money to pay for their salaries and whether they will be doing the return. I think it's an important question. My frustration, Chairperson, is the threat of saying with most of the SOEs that we are interacting with. It's like we are sitting in the same zone as we are sitting with SABC, with the new board, we are trying to make things around the country, and it's not so bad. The other day, we were ESCOM, and unfortunately, we are not able to hold them to account for the mistakes of the previous board. So we repeat the same thing here over and over again and say we are hoping that by doing the time we'll be able to turn around. But I think it's a political discussion that we can't be in the National Assembly and not here because they're not in the same place. But it's a different thing. Because if all the SOEs have to become an account for us, we'll repeat the same story. And if other people are counting, but I think what is important from where I'm sitting, Chairperson in particular, and so far as the government's challenge, it would help us a great deal if particular honorable said that you are able to quantify in the value the amount that the loss that has been incurred in which particular challenge or honorable support. So that we get a big picture of those who are under the issues, even when we are talking about contact management and challenge. But I think what's also important is the quantity to get an idea when it comes to the comments of contact, get an idea as to whether or not some of the people who are involved in the state of the are being challenged. What are those issues and how far those processes are, so that we are able to send a clear message about it. Some of the people are running the situation, some of them are coming in and out, running the process to the market. But if we can talk and catch you, I'll be able to do
that. If you can just raise the voice, thank you.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Call or check us.
Mm.
No, it's a question of saying it must be a confidence money. The only way you can do it is to do that. By you telling us who are involved in the processes, where the process is done, and what the program is about. I'm making that why you are pushing that in some of the initiatives that you've taken in order to try and look at digital to intelligent use, because of the time to connect with the and I think that we have a lot of time to share that with the contact. Like we are talking to right now, we'll be asking you a pertinent question about some of the decisions that we are taking for the future.
You're most welcome, Honorable Sally, is your turn. I'm told they are not functioning. Can you have that door open so that we get some air? The windows are not opening.
No, it's not a recording room.
Okay.
It's not a recording room.
Please leave the door open. Thank you. As long as you can control noise for us in the corridor. Thank you very much. Okay. We may proceed, Honorable Sir.
Sure. Thanks. Just three quick comments before I raise some issues for clarity, which might not necessarily need responses from the side of the board. Because I'm realizing that this seems to be our first engagement or second engagement with the board. A reminder to say, obviously, we are going to be raising quite a number of issues that we would suggest that they be attended. Realizing the fact that we had, while we were busy with the ESCOM inquiry, you remember that we were taking a decision that the second part of our investigation will then include DNA and transcripts. So we'll obviously solely rely on you and other law enforcement agencies to take forward quite a number of issues that we are going to be raising from time to time with you. So I'm starting on this note on the basis that some of the issues that we are raising will expect them to be followed up very closely so that as and when you come back from time to time, you are then able to give us progress in terms of those issues. That's the first one. The second one, I think it was in the 2018 financial year or so. You are one of the entities that made the annual report letter. These are some of the issues that this time around we will expect the board to look at them very, very closely. Because these are some of the issues that lead us to a lot of challenges that we are experiencing in the entity. So that's one aspect that I've taken note of. I must appreciate the progress that has been reported now to the chairman in terms of the work that has been done by the board and the deputies, following up on the issues that have been raised by the AG and some of the issues that have been in the public domain. I think we must appreciate the effort that the board is trying to make to attend to those issues. Three issues that I will need to be clarified on is one, the issue of questionable salary increase. What is the state of affairs? I appreciate the fact that it's one issue that you have taken note of. It appears to be correct that there are some salary increases which were not properly done in the company. I would appreciate if you can just try and clarify us as to the state of affairs in that particular area. The second one is the financial health of the company. You'll remember, I think last year, December or so, there were difficulties which led the company not being able to pay salaries of the employees. are you able to guarantee Parliament that as of now the situation is fine, and where are we now from the financial point of view? My apologies, Chair, if in the process of me raising some of these issues, I'll then enter into the governance issues. I don't want to come back.
Please don't put me into trouble, because the other members have done that.
Yeah,
if
I'll
you can
try
just
as much as I can to
please
from please.
Thank you.
But the last one is the issue of litigation. Obviously, some of the contracts that we are cancelling as a result of them having not been entered into correctly without following due process and all the other things. We'll appreciate if you can just give us a highlight if there are indications better than that. For now, let me pause.
Thank you very much, honorable members. The ministry's office and our content advisor, can you swap the seat so that the denial is able to consult with the minister's office when they are interacting with the members? Can you just swap? Thank you. They're able to consult each other. Board Chairperson, I take that you have with the team, with the delegation, yourself and other board members and the executives, you have noted all the questions. I'm not sure whether you need a few minutes to allocate question or you are ready to respond.
I will respond and then in
yeah, while you are responding, they'll allocate themselves quietly the questions. Please park those that are dealing with the forensic forensic investigation type of issues, and just respond to financial results, external audit opinion, irregular expenditure for now. Thank you. You may proceed there for Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair. I know that this hasn't worked, and that makes it very much worse, and the windows are open. But I'm sure we can get on with it. Let me start with the issue of Qatar, Saudi Arabia financial arrangements that may be, or there is a perception that there is such a structure. While the Auditor General and ourselves, and I want to say to the Chair that one of the deepest applications should go to the Auditor General. If we consider that the Auditor General took over as the external auditor of Minel, literally in May, after we are appointed in April, the amount of detailed work the Auditor General has been able to do step by step along with that is absolutely remarkable. And oftentimes we would wish that instead of us lying to you about what exists and what doesn't, the annual financial statement will express the various loans that we have. If they are from Qatar, they'll be there. If they are from Saudi, they'll be there. If they came into the new year, which is the year ending 2019, they'll be expressed. But fundamentally, as a board, we have ensured that any other arrangement with any other party to deal with the perception that Nell is up for sale or RBM is up for sale are immediately stopped. So there is currently no loan agreement between Nell and Qatar or Nell and any other country. All of our loan agreements are with the South African bank. And the huge ballooning debt that is raising enough is low. And if ever the day arises that Nell will have to borrow externally, if it can follow the due diligence required by the PSMA with the shareholder and the trader and everybody being the one to meet. So right now, we can have the comfort that the MOUs of the past that were there We as a board, governance does not allow us to proceed that way, and with our money to the team, we have ensured that none of those things. And you must all remember that we are hardly a year old now. So a lot of the stuff, you stop them before they become a problem, and then you look back to see what you have done to give you comfort. We have noted that those were the issues, but they have not taken any steps in the business. And then our colleagues will add later on that. And then there were issues around what is the financial position of Dinel. Dinel has a liquidity challenge and a cash flow challenge. But before I say that, I'm going to allow the chair of audit to speak. You know, when people ask you, as parliamentarian, when am I getting paid? I want you to ask them, what do you produce for me? You know, it will have bought so much. Just for once, let me ask you. The average of your employees goes to work for doing nothing, and it has created a position in the society that says, go work for government, because nobody cares about this business anything. They just pay your salary. I would like a partnership whereby we ask people, what do you do every day for the taxpayer? The average employee in an OTAE today is earning so much money, they go to the office and their profit into so many different cars. They've never produced anything. The challenge you are giving us as boss is the more the only thing you see is they are complaining about being paid, board, make sure that there is money to pay them. The chief MSA says to us, we must make sure that nobody uses the state. It's a balancing act we as boards do every day to make sure that we can account to you and say, we are paying people for producing anything. In the case of my company, Dinel, if we are telling you now, to the financial results you've had, that our revenues have gone down by 38%, we have been unable to produce anything because our suppliers are giving anything. The chances are for the past 4 years you've been paying salaries for no one producing anything. But you want us to pay them salaries. That grow every year by inflation and where there is no cash. There is no single bullet between ourselves, the parliament, the department. We are going to have to face the toughest situation for this country. None of them resign because they know that the day you let them go, you must pay them at the highest level, a package to let them go. We have created a, what would I call it? It's like jaws. On one side, the income that you're looking for is not happening. On another, the costs are going higher year on year, nobody produces anything, and their costs are getting higher. And they are asking you to ask the taxpayer to pay them year on year. That's what we are facing as for. And when we go and ask for an additional guarantee, or we ask for a form of capitalization, we would wish that the capitalization we ask for is for the productive side. Let us pay our suppliers, get more income to produce further, and the people that are involved in producing output get well paid. But the reality of the job is that we've grown so far, while our revenues have gone down so far, that how we are now wrestling with our shareholders to figure out how month on month we can create an affordability that doesn't take government for granted is what we are trying to do. So the simple answer to can we pay that? Month on month we look at what we have in the bank account. And they will tell you as our experts. I often give them an example, South Africa is not the first country in this solution. I always give an example of Cathay Pacific, which everybody can go and look at. When the airline was down with nothing like anything else, everybody in the company, from CEO to the lowest member, they took themselves without you telling them a salary cut. They rebuilt their airline and they are now paying high salaries. But in South Africa, we've created an environment whereby we can't even ask our people, fit yourselves into the current cash flow, because government will try to make you pay you. It is a request from me. It's one of the biggest challenges for all. Is that as much as we try to find solutions with our team, asking them, if we together find a way to sit here, and we promise you that as we turn around, we can improve and get back, would that work? They have found a way to go to government and say, government, they are trying to not pay us, and then government says, oh, people are going to lose their jobs. I think we are going to have to find a language in this space where together we can rebuild a good base for the country so that we know, people know that they are getting a salary because they've earned it. And that we will all work together and find a solution. We do have a little bit of cash in the bank account. Every month we sit around and ask ourselves, how are we going to fit in? The best solution going forward could be a position whereby companies can take it hard for now, work with us, parliament, department, and we gradually work back. As we pay our suppliers first, we pay other people producers first, so that we can get back on board. There isn't going to be anybody who hasn't taken a supply. The average director works, if it is 100 hours a week, they get paid for two, because we have in our mind that a demand will turn around, another SME will turn around. But we don't have a silver bullet, because we know that our country doesn't have a big cash account that is seeking to support the people. We want to pay every employee. But every month, we want the employees to know. This is all we have. The day we can't top it up with the help of our VPE and treasury, you must know that you're going to try and pick ourselves in, and maybe as we get there. But that agreement has not been reached yet. And I'm hoping that the day we hear that what we are negotiating on, you support us a bit and allow that realistic check by all SMEs, so that the value is lessened on the screen. That is part of the obligation that the community is on us, that we avoid putting an undue burden on the state, because we can do so. And then in that regard, the last one that I'm going to comment on and hand over to my chair of audit is the issue around, for example, the investigations of the board. The way SOEs in general govern investigations, the audit committee is a senior committee of the board. They think all whistleblower issues, they look at any element that the Auditor General says investigate, they investigate. Once the investigations are concluded and they have found actions that they want, they give them to us as a full board, they give them to the full board, we approve them and action them to management. So the issue around extraordinary salary increases is actually coming to the next board for engagement. The audit committee has completed their investigation. We are waiting to formally now receive their final report of what actions they want from us, and then we will deal with it. But as a company, we say this issue bedevils everything. We would rather start looking at how to resolve it now. One of the members asked earlier, do you see hope? I can tell this committee the greatest excitement in the now is that after all of the noise, when you look inside the company, you find solutions that could even be helping the civilian side, our country, vis-a-vis the military. There is a lot of green technology in the now. That if we go through the next phase of 18 months of cleanup, we can have a nimble company that can deliver the future. That is our target. That keeps us awake. That is what makes me a little bit more relaxed and happy today, is because we seem to know it's worth our effort, it's got value, and we hope to convince you in the end that you do not have to sell it to anybody, but you retain it to the country and you make it good news for the country. That is my hope. Chair of Audit, there were a couple of issues again on loan agreement, on the issues about getting paid, and on financial health of the company, and on litigation. We will one day bring the litigation report, I think.
And that, if you may, I may come in. I request that to my secretary just use my office for now so that we can get the space for the lady. I'll contact you when I need you. Thank you very much. Because the venue is quite small. And the lady can take a seat. No, please take a seat because now I have to do that for you. Thank you very much. Proceed, Chair of Audit Committee.
Thank you, Chair. At the time of our reporting, the NAL was solvent, remained solvent, and liquid with support from government. We have total government guarantees of about 3.4 billion rand. We have seen an improved trusting relationship with our banks and with our lenders. And we've made a commitment to them that we will be giving them regular updates in terms of the journey that we've undertaken to turn around the place, to stabilize and grow the NAL. And the support that we've been getting from our shareholder, from the Department of Defense and Arms Corps, has been great. But all our key stakeholders are committed to fixing and strengthening the NAL, specifically the NAL's future and its balance sheet, and we're very pleased about that. In terms of our loan agreement, the disclaimer audit opinion was something that worries us, and hence we've been engaging with our banks and with our lenders, bringing them up to speed on where we are, what the impact is of the disclaimer audit opinion. And we haven't breached any covenants around that audit opinion, so we're quite, we're not pleased, but it's just a stay position that we are. In terms of salaries, our chair did make that point. We do prioritize our spend. At the moment, we have in excess of 200 million rand in our bank, which is quite a significant amount from where we used to be. We manage our working capital accordingly. We have cash flow meetings that takes place on a regular basis, bi-weekly, and we then prioritize our spend, balancing salaries against our payments to suppliers and our abilities to complete contracts. Our employees are not just worried about salaries, they are also very aligned towards the future of the NAL because we employ highly scarce skills in our company. Engineers sought after skills, and when they join the NAL, they see us as a company that invests in R&D, and that's a commitment we make towards them as well. So it's more than salaries. I think those are the issues I wanted to highlight from the rest of management.
Any other board members wish to add? Nothing. Yes, please go ahead.
My comment, is just about the payment of salaries. I think where the board is looking, the end state is that we don't want NAL to be dependent on government all the time. I think as a minimum, working to get a NAL that can break even. So that's where we're focusing at the moment. So. The notion of management, thinking that the government always must pay their salary, I think we want that to come to an end. But there's a lot of work that requires to be done. First, for management, I'm talking about the executive and all staff, knowing that there's payment for value. Performance, then there's the money given back to them. So that people don't just want to get effective payment without any production. My colleague, we're talking about payments of suppliers. We're trying to balance that. In the first instance, people shouldn't be thinking that they should just be salaries. We have suppliers, so that this thing is almost like a cycle where there needs to be suppliers paid, they give us components, and then we produce, we release money from those contracts. So that's really the culture that we're trying to drive in the organization. Because otherwise, at this stage, we can just pay salaries and borrow until we can't borrow more. No production, the company will close down.
I just wanted to also say to you that obviously this would happen in any environment where you know that you're competing for government support. We have no doubt that for us, because we will come and ask to be capitalized, but it will be a small amount of about 1.1. But for us, that money would be to the project, and we should be guaranteeing you a return on those projects. Just to say to you, while we are gradually becoming clever at managing our cash. We are well aware of the opportunity cost that lies there, where we can't inject money into the new contract, because suddenly we've got almost the whole world now coming back to see our products, and we want to start now producing. And on that, together with DPE, we are working on a scheme to make sure that we can reinforce the resources, focus them on the project, and therefore give Zinel that work a different kind of life. I just thought I should say it in case next year when you're here, we're asking for 2 billion and you see some others asking for you for 20. If there is a little one, it's fine. You know, the little one wants to inject it directly into capital, so we return it back to you.
You're most welcome. Would you like your executive to ask certain questions, remainder
only
questions?
Only ones I think the board has covered them, unless they want to comment.
Okay, so everything has been covered. Thank you very much. I'm going to now, as I had promised earlier on, I'm going to allow members to get into the second round of questions on the governance issue that relates to forensic investigation instituted and charges laid against those implicated, coupling it with the challenges and interventions type of questions. I note that Honorable Luyenge had asked certain questions. I'm checking. Do you want to add? I'm going to give all members, as I did earlier on. Do you, any additions on those questions that I've asked them to pack them, and then we're getting into those? Do you want to add anything?
I'll just add one after.
Okay, you can come in now. And then Honorable Mazon will follow you. Yes, I'm saying. Honorable Luyenge, add on those questions, and Honorable Mazon will follow you. Were you chairing? Okay.
The question maybe that I would want to check now relates to on the forensic investigation. Do you have names either from the board or the executive that are alleged to have participated in the looting of the resources at Zinel? If that is the case, are there any criminal charges that you are contemplating to lay on them, and then when? Because it can't be correct if there is forensic investigation and there is a report and then the recommendation that you institute as an institution, you then delay that, then it's not going to help you. So if you are contemplating to open up such charges, you must beyond the reasonable doubt prove that even before you start the process. But the other issue relates to contract management, the involvement of companies then. Are you in these in your suppliers and companies that are rendering services to you? Are there any of those that are in collaboration with some of your staff members, board members, and the executives? So if that is the case, any contemplation, therefore, to actually charge them criminally? So let me end this.
Honorable Mazon, is okay. Followed by Honorable Kwakwa, if you have any questions, and then followed by another person, if you have any, also any. Thank you. And
thank
I order members.
Thank you, Chair. Look, I don't want to belabor this point, but I'm not convinced and I'm not satisfied and I'm not at ease with the answer about Saudi Arabia and Qatar in terms of governance. And I know I'm asking you to push the boundary, and if something is confidential, please tell us. And then what we can do is we can pire the information and get it on a confidential pire mate. But we do need to know more about what's going on. Parliament of South Africa is now in a very precarious situation, and I see a hand going on a forehead. Believe you me, my hands are also on my forehead. I know the situation that you're in. So if you cannot talk to us about it, let us know, and then we as a committee will fire confidential information. But that information, as a committee, we absolutely have to have, because we have a constitutional obligation of oversight. And without that information, we cannot execute it. Now, the very reason you find yourselves in the position you do now is as a direct result of state capture. Not caused by your board, but by caused by those who came before you and by ministers who allowed the NL to be looted and pillaged to the point that we now find ourselves in. I remember my very first meeting with the NL. You were the dream child of state-owned entities. You were the success story. You were what we used as the benchmark for all other state-owned entities. We could not have predicted what was happening behind the scenes and how your company was being sold off piece by piece. Now, one thing that we can take as a little bit of consolation is that those who are responsible for state capture are now being held to account. When your previous board came and presented to us, we were told in no uncertain circumstances that Denel Asia was a perfectly legitimate company that was being used to expand the footprint of Denel in the Asian market. We as a committee argued back. We said that there was no need for Denel Asia to expand the footprint because your footprint was already entrenched in the Asian market. We now know why Denel Asia was set up. What we need from you as a board is we physically need you to tell us that there was absolutely no need for Denel Asia to be set up, and that it was set up as a scam and a sham to enable state capture, so that we as a committee can supplement an affidavit that we will send the Zondo Commission to let them know that those board members who appeared before this committee lied to Parliament, which is a criminal offence. And it is a prosecutable criminal offence to lie to Parliament. It's going to take guts from your side, but you've had guts to present us with what you've presented us already this morning. This is now time where we put politics and we put everything aside and we fight for South Africa. Because when you have a chairperson make the most blatant and honest confession that she will come to us and ask us for $2 billion, and it will be small in comparison to what other companies are coming to ask us for, we must realize how much trouble we are in as a country. And I applaud you for having that kind of courage and honesty to tell us, because we've never had that kind of honesty and courage before. People lied to this committee, and we now need to hold those who lied to us to account. So whether the CFO resigned or was asked to leave or suspended, it doesn't matter. He will be held to account, and he must be held to account. A resignation means nothing to this committee. It makes us fight even harder for these accountability. Fired. There we go. Beautiful. I'm loving the fact that you said the words. He was fired. He wasn't retired, retrenched, resigned, given a golden handshake, joined the army. It's a very nice change to hear someone was fired. But even though he was fired, does not mean he's off the hook. He is not off the hook. And this committee's job is to assist you in holding these people to account. You cannot be expected to hold them to account on your own. That's why this committee did the ESCOM inquiry, because the new board could not be expected to do everything on their own. This is a Team South Africa process that we're entering into. But we need you to tell us the truth. So we need the truth about the Qatar deal. We need the truth about Saudi. We need the truth about Denel Asia, straight up and out. Was Denel Asia established as a catalyst for state capture? We need the truth. Ex-Minister Gigaba was in a lot of hot water about lying about Fireblade and his involvement there. Are you getting rent for your Fireblade terminal? Part of your governance deal? So, you know, these are things we need to look at. These are things we need to explore. These are issues that your board before you was not allowed to tell us. Again, if these things are confidential, you need to tell us so that we can hire confidential information, but then this committee has the right then to look and to do oversight on what is, because your previous board, let me tell you, hid behind commercially sensitive information. That's what their response to us was. It's commercially sensitive and therefore we can't give you the information. Well, this committee found out that the Constitution protects us and we can gain access to commercially sensitive information to execute our oversight role. So in all issues of governance, you must understand that as much as you want Denel to succeed, we need Denel to succeed, because as a country, we can't afford to have more people unemployed. We can't afford to bail you out. Where's the money going to come from? When does the money dry up? I'll tell you when. It's dried up already. There is no more money. The tax is off. It's been stolen. It's that simple. Our country was looted and pillaged. The bad guys will be held to account, but it's going to take time to get that money back. So, Chair, I know I'm putting the board in the hot seat, and a hot seat that they did not create for themselves. But now is the time that this committee can assist you. So give us the answers and let us help you.
Indeed you are, but also you have provided a solution that if those issues are confidential, we should be told so that we can hire them. So I think that's safe to say. Honourable Kwanko.
Quite right, Chair. Actually, I want to agree with Honourable Matoli. If there are elections tomorrow, I'll vote for him. So I'll still vote for my party. No, she's quite right. You see, what we're trying to do, in essence, to you, leaders, is that, remember, we know that there are hands of politicians lacking the government. And now, rather than accepting a situation where all the time the officials attend the intimated sacrificial level for instructions that are given to the politicians, that those politicians who are responsible for that mess were complicit. In fact, I don't want to say one certain complicit. They initiated the voting. Must be brought to account. And the only way that we will all that is by getting more resources from you so that they get the politicians to come and account to us. But not only that, that they too can be told in jail for their contributions. So I'm saying to you, it's all good and well that we deal with officials. Well, they can't at the time those officials were sufficient. We at times I'm sure the reporting or getting them to do the things that you have. And at times because they were put under pressure to fill the bills that we have to put. Some of those officials were tried to corrupt because they received hefty backhanded for what they did to the country. So Honorable Mazzone is quite right in saying we need to get the growth of this land. And one of the things that cannot continue, we cannot allow, in general, is that your politicians that mess up the position, working together with top officials, and then when that happens, it's the ordinary workers who expect it to suffer. We are the ones who go to SABC, it's the ordinary workers that we expect to suffer and be defended because of the mess that was created by politicians and some of these people. And I think what is also critical in what Honorable Mazzone is saying is that we can't continue to have a situation in Parliament where people come, especially chairpersons and members of boards and affairs, they come here and deliberate in the Parliament and they get here. They come here deliberating in the Parliament and get here. During the inquiry into SABC, we know that some of the people who came here testified lies. I think this thing of saying to you that it's in the book is too polite. They came here and lied to Parliament. I remember Professor Makube also. and that is nothing. But there must come a time where there are consequences for people who lie and are over in the country. That is in essence what we are talking about. That is what as a politician I'm interested in. Why you deal with officials internally, make it possible for us to deal with the political agenda.
Most welcome, Honorable Sally. It's your turn.
Let me start by indicating that I become impressed when there is an assurance from the board that you are doing everything in your power to make sure that we don't put a lot of pressure on the government. The second is that the bailout. We spoke about the 3.4 billion bailout, a guarantee. Because until such time that you make extraordinary efforts to take yourself out of the scheme, you continue to have problems. I can give you an example of colleagues in the city. They are faced with the letter of guarantee, but wherever they go, they are saying, with the challenges that you are facing, how do we guarantee? How do we give you money? How sure are we that our money will come back? So all I'm saying is that you are faced with a mammoth task. Take yourself out of the scheme so that going forward you must then be able to go to a bank and say, can give us money. I can't give you money if there's no guarantee that my money will come back. So all I'm saying is that I'm pleased with the guarantee, the assurance from the board to say you are doing everything in your power to make sure that you are then able to lessen the budget on the fiscal card. Because it can be as of this that continue to go to government and say, give us money. For me, these are the as of this that are supposed to go to government and say, this is how much you can contribute to the economic growth of the country. Assist government in terms of job creation and all of other challenges that government is facing, issue of poverty and all these things. We're supposed to be relying on as of this, not as of this coming to us and say, we can give us money. It should be the other way around. So all I'm saying is that it should be a history as time goes on for us to rely on government to do our day-to-day responsibilities as well. So all I'm saying is that the issue of the scheme is a serious concern to us. The second last one is the issue of consequence management. I think one of my colleagues has this aspect. Because if you don't deal with this issue with the vigor and determination it deserves, you are then faced with a situation where everybody does as he or she wishes. But if so and so was not dealt with yesterday, why should I do this correctly? So if people cause the company to have a disclaimer or a regular expenditure and all the other challenges, surely they must be able to take responsibility. And we are relying on U.S. agency to get here or to assist us in that. The last one, Chef, is the issue of your disciplinary cases. They take a very long time before they are finalized. It's a very serious challenge at the expense of government. When people are suspended for a year or two, continue to draw salaries from government, surely this is unacceptable. We expect the board to attend to this particular issue to come around very, very closely. We are not saying you must then be able to cut the corner. But you are saying, do everything in your power to make sure that you don't have cases that drag unnecessarily so when people continue to draw salaries from the company, when we got other means and finalize this case. The last one, obviously, this one I'll need a response. You can't have a company that continues to attend to whatever it's supposed to be doing on daily basis when the employees are not here. So a direct question is, what is it that you are doing to find a situation where you are then able to have good working relations with the employees at the level of the union? How often do you meet with perhaps you leave that kind of a briefing, so that going forward, you must not then just come in when they are trying some other misunderstanding, when we do not know the effort that you are making to try and make sure that there is good working relations between the employees and the employees at that level. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. When you were talking about the involvement of the AG, I've been looking at the laptop there from the guy seated on my right that has a sticker written Auditor General, and I've confirmed that, yes, indeed, Auditor General is represented in the meeting, so he was listening. I would like you to note all these questions. I think you have noted them. We are going to take a break, a comfort break, and during that comfort break, we'll be able to allocate questions among yourselves and be able also to get some kind of a comfort break yourselves. Because last time I noticed with ESCOM, when I say 10 minutes, members say 10 minutes, and then 10 minutes is taken up by the delegation allocating questions among themselves, and they are unable to visit restroom. So I'll make it 15 minutes, and then when you come back, then you will respond. Comfort break, 15 minutes. We resume at 12. Thank you very much. Please open that door widely. Henry, please assist me if that door does open.
The more water.
Can you allow them to go to the bathroom? Please take your... Can you allow them to go to the restroom, because I need them back in time? Please. Please. Yeah, please. No, it's fine. They have the money in the Makomi. I understand. Che, Masku Palo, we are seeing.
You doing, ma'am?
I'm fine, thanks, Vanessa.
Oh, not a bad, not a bad. Marianne Merton from the Daily Maverick. Totally stupid question.
Can I just get this break and deal with this what is my question for now?
Of course.
You mentioned something like that now, yeah.
Who hasn't got the
transition?
I don't know.
I'm okay. You don't want me to do that.
And when are your position?
I'm the second in the
It's the actual F today.
Sorry, Chief.
Oh, yeah.
Hi. I know those windows must open. But I thought they closed one and opened the other.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Unfortunately, they want me to start again, and they will see where I've left something out. Comment. Chair, thank you very much. Firstly, our board is really governed literally by the PFMA, and the PFMA makes it very clear that we owe to you to provide you all of the answers that you require. The answer is generally around whether or not the board is obliged to give you information regarding how it does its business. The PFMA says that in our role of duty of care on DINEL, we are supposed to provide to the structures of government the information they require to be able to perform their duties around DINEL. So any of the issues that are on our financials will probably provide you in a safe environment that you require. However, I have noted that you have also given us a comfort again that our committee remains focused on one thing, to ensure that what their SOEs do and perform is still in line with the expectation of the state and to provide a good outcome for the people of South Africa. So we are really encouraged by that, and you've always been that to us, and we hope you stay the same way. Between the last question, I think, is the easier one to start with, which had to do with the relationships with the unions. Let me start by saying that every whistleblower issue that we have been able to focus on as a board are received from the unions. DINEL has several unions, about five, and they have been outmost, more long-term than I've seen in many years. I've met them myself. I think when we took over in April, I did a roadshow across all divisions and I met our workers and staff. I met with the union separately. And 2 months ago, I met with the EXCO as well as the unions again so that together they can find a way to deal with the fixed costs so that whatever proposal sits with the board, they've engaged together between the unions and management. And all I can say is a level of... I appreciate the professionalism that the DINEL unions have actually engaged on all these difficult issues. It's probably an understatement. They've been extremely practical to point out where they felt the board needed to look at. They love their company. They want to see a sustainable outcome. They are offering ideas. I think they're the best partner in these elements of trying to find a way forward for DINEL. I just have to say that publicly. They've been extremely professional. They've been great to work with. And then with regards to Mebazoli and Rekwakwa, I've truly heard you when you say that maybe there may be things the board is afraid to say. With this board, because of PFMA, we are here to account, so whatever we know, we will give to you. Premised on the fact that we wish we were not only 8 months old, because what we owe you is not what we feel, what we think, what was in an allegation. It must be something that we've investigated, we've got a report, we've got facts, so that you can use the facts to deal with whatever you need to deal with them or to support us when we need to be supported. What we have done, Qatar, I think what I will do for Parliament is, besides the fact that there is no contract between DINEL and Qatar, we'll go back and look at what they were trying to do and summarize to you in a written way that we have closed that issue formally. With the Saudis, because again, the fact that DINEL is not for sale or RDM is not for sale doesn't mean that Qatar does not want to buy certain things from DINEL. We separate the two. We said to everybody, we are open for business. You can talk to us about the things that you wish to buy from DINEL. We are open for business. There are the divisions going engaged, but we just want a commercial outcome. So in that regard, we are also trying to have a level of transparency on the contract that we have had. That we will be having from now onwards, so that we are all clear of the countries that we do business with. Saudi Arabia, as recently as last week, Sami came to meet us for the first time. We still disagreed on their belief that DINEL is up for sale or whatever. I don't know how else to say it. But the whole world knows that DINEL is not up for sale, or if anything, this board is determined to show that there is so much value going forward in DINEL that it is good for South Africa, that US parliamentarians may not see the need to sell it. So that is our view. Our RDM is not for sale. It's a good entity. It's showing us a type of partnership we could look at for some of the results. And we still said to them, you can come and engage us on product that you see that you think Dinel can develop for you or that you can buy for Dinel, but we are not going your way. No matter what you discussed with previous people, we want a different kind of working relationship. And then with regard to Dinel Asia and VR Laser, Dinel has got so many divisions that the world thinks it's just one little contract. What the audit committee is doing is really analyzing the entire web, because right now we think people think it's this, but what we are beginning to see is larger. We want to give you facts. Our investigations are ahead, and we've figured out that one of the lessons in life is when you do a large development program like Roof Acer, if the governance framework around it is not tight, you are likely to have the VR lasers lurking all around. So we are also investigating the contract of Roof Acer and seeing how we can make nimble, because somewhere the VR lasers and the their web are it appears to be around the Roof Acer project because it is so large. We are investigating all of that. And when the results are out, as our DPE would say to us, you give us the details, because we all have to account, and the accounting is with Parliament. So we'll always find a safe space where we can account to you on some of the details. On the issues of consequence management, we are very clear as a board that even with the CFO, yes, he's dismissed. Yes, it was painful to see us having to pay him a salary every month while allegations were piling up. The reality is that in the end, the process has proven to have been thorough, dealt with effectively. He's out of the business. We can now prepare and rebuild it now going forward. That is slightly lighter. And I need to say that currently, some of the investigation being done under EXCO, we don't have anybody who is under suspicion and being paid currently. But when that happens, it will be because we've looked at every other way within the law to deal with it, and we were stuck with having to put somebody on paid suspension for a while. And there were a number of detailed questions, so just to conclude on what you're asking for, may I promise the chair of the committee that Qatar, Saudi, Dinel Asia have said the investigations are underway, Fireblade and any of those, we would summarize almost in a table what we just to close them so that they don't continue and that you're satisfied that we can account. It is our duty to account. I don't see it in any other way. And that the consequence management on it, that's why the chair of audit said that we work in close with the SIU, because a number of it is just charging people commercially and making sure that the processes to do the investigations under commercial crimes is faster, dedicated, and that it can actually lead to a conclusion. And those processes the audit committee is dealing with as properly. Rally Yenge, you raised a lot of questions around whether we feel we are close to determining the levels of losses. Theoretically, when you look between 2015, our financial year, to today, you see a company that one day makes billions and then one morning it's in a deficit of 200. So you already say, that gap, I want to know where it went. Yeah. So that may be one other measure. But in terms of what we have lost from investigations, we are hoping that as all we can probably account for per year would be from the investigations of what we have done this year, we have found that we have lost so much, and the Auditor General will hopefully be happy with the number, because they are also a very good partner in guiding and auditing our numbers, and then we will share that with you. So I've noted here that maybe next year one of the things you want from us is some assessment of from the investigations, who was found guilty, what was done with them, and what are the related losses. Because it's difficult to estimate what they would be going forward, because they are case by case. unless the accountants and auditors afterwards find a better way to deal with them. But I read it as you asking us to come back with a different way of accounting on the investigation. Tell us what the investigation was on, who was found guilty, or if there is a disciplinary action, who was found guilty, what was the consequence management on it, can you estimate the potential loss for the company? We have that kind of a table attached to give to you, and I think we owe you something like that going forward. I believe largely we've dealt with the level of accountability we give to you, unless I've left something.
Anything to add, please feel free.
Chair, I could add, and then I think Tommy may want to also add. I think around consequence management, you know, here we're looking at not only current employees, but employees that have left us. So there could be criminal charges, there could also be civil claims that we will institute. Another area that we as a board are looking at is starting the process to declare prescribed officers as delinquent in terms of the companies. We are not only looking at employees, we are also looking at our suppliers as well. And where there are regulatory bodies or oversight bodies that we need to follow up action on, we will be taking that action as well. In terms of Danel Asia being part of the executive a few years ago of this company, I saw personally no reason for Danel Asia to exist. And hence we have started, I mean, not only me, but the board. So we have now started that closing down, that winding down process. But that will
take
its time.
That's a difficult one.
On Qatar, as our chairman pointed out, we haven't received any cash from Qatar. You know, I hadn't raised this, I hadn't followed up on it early on because I thought our chair had raised that issue. We see after the forensic audit names coming out, you know, names that will come out, and we will be taking action against those individuals. We did make the point, again, as our chair pointed out, we are working closely with the SRU. On suppliers, if you look at the irregular expenditure, our total irregular expenditure was over 500 million rand. Included in that is 108 million rand for VR Laser. We do believe VR Laser will be far more than 108 million rand. But it means that we will investigate all of the other irregular expenditure as well. So there will also be other suppliers that will be investigated. You know, where they are single source, we would need to understand the reasons for why was it single source. Was it a specific industrialized partner that we could only do work with? Why then haven't we followed the processes that's required in terms of the PFMA and Treasury regulations? I think in terms of governance, and the honourable member made the point about even though we may have government guarantees, banks may not still be keen to work with us, which is true, because the banks are quite concerned about their reputation. So if an entity is involved with any breakdown in governance, any corruption, they themselves have to answer to their regulatory bodies. So hence we are working very closely with them in order to build trust and confidence in terms of what we are doing. So they are also a source of information to us to help us as we undertake these our investigations. And as our chair pointed out earlier on, you know, we have started these investigations. We will follow a governance process. It comes through the audit committee. We will then engage with the board, and thereafter the board will then decide the way forward after that. I think those are the issues.
Through the chair, just to add on the consequence management, Danel has an existing policy that it uses for misconduct and things of that nature. Certainly, we enforce that policy, and we're looking to strengthen it where it needs to be strengthened. Can I assure you, honourable member said he asked a question about long drawn disciplinaries and suspensions and whatnot. Where there is a clear case of a misconduct and it's dismissible, there is a summary dismissal. We do know lower level management about a week ago, we had some infractions of management doing things, dispatching information, confidential company information. They are out of the system. summary dismissals immediately for people like those. So I want to assure the committee that consequence management is a thing that the board is watching closely. And from HR committee point of view myself, I keep my eyes open all the time without really dabbling into what the executive management needs to do, because at the end they need to discharge those duties, but we are watching it.
There is a new, besides a large contract that require a board committee and exco to just play, sit down with AMSCO in a locked room and they go through every process. There's another set of contracts that have got to do with, I think historically we used to call them arms dealers, and then we call them technical assistants, and because we're learning about the way the industry works, where you find out that in maybe Europe or whatever, a technical assistant is paid 2.5% brokerage. In Dinel, they pay them 10%. So even before Dinel invests and delivers on the project, the broker has already received their money. We are trying to understand because what are we doing? We are just trying to figure out where our money went. You see, and then when you start looking at who do you pay, you realize in most of these, the practices in the defense industry, countries would have a panel of people that look for them, look for solutions for them, and somehow they get paid as the brokers of the contract. But it doesn't look like our company had a deliberate policy that ensures that whatever the outcome may be, South Africa is not a loss and the others is a win. As we go along, you'll see us coming up with informed policy positions to make sure that we are not paying for nothing. Because in some cases, you actually saw a lot of money going out. And you say, but the contract is not even built yet. Why are these people so wealthy? They got, out of a 6 billion rand contract, what is 10%? It's a lot of money. They got paid, and Dinel is still struggling with. So we are dealing with those as one group, not only to find out where maybe things could have gone against the PFMA, but primarily to understand whether or not we as a board feel the approach is aligned to PFMA, aligned to a win-win, aligned to a better financial outcome for Dinel. So you will hear questions around, what we could have done in Chad. So we've taken some sample contracts to get ourselves informed on how they work across various sectors, because we are also learning. And we'll come to the committee through DPE when the two of us have now figured it out and figure out a position for Dinel, and then look at the outliers and just try and reduce leakage of money that could otherwise be in Dinel. I think overall, we are clear on what you want us to report, the format you want for us to give you in the next interaction. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. The board and the delegation. The Chief Director from the Department of Public Enterprises.
Thank you, Chair.
Don't worry about it.
It's not working.
It's working now.
I thought it was heard this time.
No, it's not.
Thank you, Chair.
You can just push it off.
Maybe from as a start, just to say the engagement to the committee, and then I would say from the point of the department, I would say we are satisfied with the level of detail that they shared with the committee first. Actually, when I was given the presentation to advise my principal on whether I say the content and the posture is correct, I didn't change anything. I said it's very important to go back and reestablish the relationship with stakeholders. If we have to to be naked out there with the state of the company. Let's do that, because we from a history of strong relationship with Parliament, as one committee member mentioned. We actually, when you look at the revenue numbers, and you look and you go back a bit, you'll see that this is a company that was making profit for six consecutive years, and only one year, the company, which is 2017-18, the company recorded the highest loss in its history, coming from a chain of achievements. So re-establishing this relationship, because it worked before, re-establishing this relationship is quite important. And we, beyond or in addition with the market as well, or the financial market, we are trying to re-establish the relationship with the banks as well, because what I've learned in the past 3 years is that there's a strong relationship between governments and capital markets.
Okay.
That I've learned. When the Dinel Asia matter started, and the board went tit for tat with the Minister of Finance, what did the market do? They switched off all the taps. Switch off. Actually, Dinel was forced to, I keep on saying this, that the problems of today are partly of
governance.
700 million. The bank demanded that Dinel pay them 700 million,
okay,
which was not budgeted for. They had to find it. So this re-establishing the credibility of this business is quite important. And on the issue of creditors, old creditors, these are many small black-owned businesses. Some of them are threatening to retreat. So the issue of payment to Dinel employees should be seen in relationship to companies that supply this, because Dinel has a strong local supply chain, and that supply chain is under duress because of Dinel. And so resolving Dinel's problem, you are also supporting this important supply chain, which is one of our preoccupation as a department. We are working with Treasury. Before, they used to stand a mile away from us. Now we are much closer with the National Treasury. When we see the banks, Treasury is part of the delegation. It's no longer like DPE making a solo walk. Now we have Treasury on our side to support a Dinel cause. So these are the efforts we're trying to support the entity. And at the beginning of November 2018, NOMSA marched to the department with a list of demands. But when you look at the content of the demands, they're touching on, in some instances, they're touching on fundamental issues. And then you say, these unions actually can be a partner in resolving the Dinel problems. They are not just touching our low wages, and they are touching on, for example, NOMSA is stating categorically that Dinel is a strategic national asset. That headline message is quite critical in trying to attend to Dinel's problems going forward. So now the discussion is, with the defense budget stagnant, it has been stagnant for some time, the local defense budget, and accessing global markets is not straightforward. You need alliances and partnerships. Now, how do we do that responsibly? That's the preoccupation. The Qatar and the Saudis are, I would say, they are looking at Dinel as here's an asset. Maybe they look at it as they say, people are sitting on top of gold and they are not maximizing this gold. So they want to take advantage of us. So it's up to us to realize that we're having a strong national asset. That's my my input in this matter. And on the issue of leadership, I mean, all three top positions in the SOC, all three, CEO, CFO, COO, acting, it's Hollywood. So we need to resolve the leadership issues as soon as possible. And I'm glad that there's traction in some, particularly the top level, there's some level of traction in terms of trying to resolve that. So these are my assessment for today's session. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Most welcome. Chief Director from the Department of Public Enterprises. Dinesh, Board Chairperson, on your opening remarks, you said for the first time that you feel relaxed. And I can see that you indeed calm, even when difficult questions are being asked by members, you remain calm. And you are happy that over 8 months you'll find a way of working under pressure, keep the ground running, and then find a place to land and relax. And when you work under that condition, you strive to achieve a better result than being stressed and you try to do lots of things as ethical, and you end up not achieving any. So we appreciate that, and we encourage you to keep going with the board and the employees of the NED, including the union. That it's not very often that you hear board members and management praising the union, that they are a strategic partner. They make a contribution on the trying to clean up and stabilize the company and the SOE of government. Having said that, there are issues that were raised by members, and some of them talk to the output, and you did mention that that will come out of the key performance indicators, the performance of the employees of Dinner. That was a very serious statement that you made, and I hope that serious statement that you made for people to perform, and then first, and then the salary comes after the earnings, you are really also raising that with the union. It was important when you sit down, not having a strike, not having a ticket or slow, go slow, around the table, and those issues are raised with unions, and I think unions, I don't think there's a union that would want to have a stigma that they want employees to end without being perform their duties, and I think if you go that truth, they will be able to see better results as the year the future years. But for that, we are going to call you back for your, as soon as you forward us your annual report, of which I'm aware that you indicated that in a few weeks from now, you'll be able to finish us with the annual report and financials, and we'll try at our level best, although we won't have much time next year. There are other entities that haven't come before the committee, but you will have to include yourself because of that annual report. And on that day, already the AGs have indicated that they will be in attendance.
Great.
On that day of the committee receiving your briefing on annual report and financial. I've noted that you said that you want to come up with informed policy positions, which is very critical to us in your implementation of procurement and supply chain management policy. We always monitor that process.
the disclaimer, as we've talked, we will get into those terms of the one member has raised the audit opinion that has been expressed by the auditor general, but we'll get into those even further when we come back here for annual report and financial. The disciplinary process that took a long time to be finalized. You made a commitment, and when you come back at a certain stage, maybe before the parliament rises, we would like to get that information, that table that you have undertook to furnish us. And if not in a meeting, but in a written submission together with the other confidential information, indication, or responding to it through via the department and then to the office of the chairperson in a written submission. We appreciate that we appreciate your openness and strength, and by giving us effect, whether it is a good story to tell or it's not a good story to tell as yet, but we are happy with the progress that we have made up to this far, and we appreciate that. But I want to say that it should be a norm for the board and the executive in your presence, and even if you are unable to come, only the executive, to always be open and frank and tell us the challenges that you are, the enterprise is facing, and so that you are able to intervene and assist and guide you together with the department from an informed position, because it's not fair for us to guide you on a misled information that has been presented to us. We end up being, at the end of the day, being in trouble ourselves. The performance output, the output and the performance that I've talked about will also come very clear when you are making a quarterly presentation in relation to our last quarter report for the financial year, the last 3 months, beginning of 2019, and if you refer, it will be like the first quarter of 2019, but it will be an end of the last quarter for the fourth quarter for the financial year 2018-2019. I think the acting position is a worrisome, I know, of the committee in all enterprises, not only yourself. We understand that the minister is still in a program, you clean up, you stabilize, you deal with, allow the board to deal with the disciplinary processes, and then you are able to appoint a fresh permanent executive. We are just encouraging you that if it's practical possible, we not to delay those issues. I think, having said that, we are very pleased with the presentation that has just been made by yourself before the portfolio committee. And with those words, I think. With those words, let me thank all the yourself and the delegation and the guests that have attended the meeting. And the members of the media. The only item that you are left with, which is not going to take even more than 5 minutes, the next item, honorable members, is the legacy report. Please finish up with your submission. If I may, I haven't closed the meeting, please, just less than 5 minutes. If I may,
okay.
Don't get distracted. The legacy.
the report, I will ask members of the committee to make their submission and forward them to the office of the chairperson, to the committee secretary, Sang, so that we are able to factor them in and be able to bring in early next year a draft report of the draft of the legal report. Having said all those words, thank you very much. I'm aware that the media, they are rushing their deadline timeline. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Excellent. You are learning a lot.
Somebody was suspended.
And
where?